you know, has a chip on their shoulder and doesn't want to utilize that term. I know there are some, and I studied under several and have had fellow pastors who absolutely refused to refer to Mother's Day as Mother's Day. I never quite wrapped my mind around all of the specific concerns. But what I do want to do is say Happy Mothering Day to all our mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, aunts, sisters, daughters, daughter-in-laws, nieces, wives. I think that covers most of the roles. But those are roles through which our lives have been touched and shaped and formed by the mothering of women. Now, I have to be honest, I wasn't sure if mothering was a word, and it is actually a word. And as a noun, it refers to somebody mothering a child, raising a child. But it can also be an adjective that refers to the characteristic of mothering. And the characteristic loosely is defined as kind, gracious, loving, protecting, caring. All those sort of realities coming together make up this concept of mothering. Now, I had originally planned to preach from the passage that Chris read for us. But yesterday, driving down, I began pondering the passage that we had looked at last week, where it talks about how both man and woman, male and female, were created in the image of God. And I wondered, what does that tell us about God? The image of God is male and female. Let us create them in our image, male and female. So often in the church, for millenniums, we have characterized God as being primarily, and in some instances, exclusively male. And I would suggest to you that in the process of doing that, it's resulted in a very patriarchal reality in the church and a patriarchal understanding of God, of a divine being that is predominantly or entirely male. Many of the metaphors that we use to describe God are male. The pronouns that we have used throughout the centuries have been male. But both male and female were created in the image of God. And so I began to wonder, what does that really tell us about God, and then ultimately about ourselves? And so you might recall that last week I shared with you that when the Old Testament says that we were created in the image of God, the image is not referring to something that's ontological. It's not referring to something such as the capacity of reason or spirituality or some aspect of our being. That it's actually referring to our function, our purpose, our role. And you see that clearly in the Hebrew, especially when we understand the poetic structure within which they wrote. So they like to go A, B, A, B, sometimes A, B, B, A. It was all about a very poetic way of writing. In the West today, we write in very propositional sorts of ways. We don't like hidden meaning. They wrote in a very, very different way. So they would not have necessarily have come out and immediately said, created in the image of God, and this is the image. They're going to make you draw it out of the passage because it's written with a poetic sort of flair. And so most people understanding the nature of ancient Hebrew literature recognize that the image of God that is being talked about in Genesis 1 is this capacity or this calling, this function to, in essence, rule or subdue or exercise dominion over all of the earth. So we know that God exercises dominion over the entirety of the universe. And by that, it means not just simply that God created it, but that God orders it and God sustains it. That's the image of God in which we are created. We are created to carry forth and to have the capacity to rule, to subdue, to exercise dominion. Now, this is where, as I said last time, I went horribly, horribly wrong. Much of it having to do with a lack of an understanding of the Old Testament itself, especially in terms of being able to do these extensive word studies that we've been able to do more of in the modern era. So if you look at the word that is used for rule over, subdue, exercise dominion, it's the same word. And when you look in the Old Testament at how that word is used, as I said last week, it's used in one of two ways. In many instances, it's used to refer to how God exercises dominion over the entirety of the universe, and it's focused on images of kindness and love and grace and caring and protection. And one of the best Old Testament metaphors that is used is that of God as shepherding. That's a very positive reality. The other way in which the word is used is describe the reality of negative or of the reality of what were considered evil kings. Both evil kings within Israel's history of kings, but also evil kings such as the Pharaoh, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Rome, etc. And those evil kings, they exercised dominion, they ruled over, they subdued, but they did so through violence. And it was always unjust and oppressive and dehumanizing. And as so many Old Testament scholars say, the same word can go either way. And most would say, well, obviously, if we're created in the image of God, and the word is used this way in reference to how God rules, that's how we're supposed to rule. That's how we're supposed to exercise dominion, if you will, over the earth. It's through grace and kindness and love. It's a shepherding reality. It's not a subduing and dominating and controlling sort of reality. Now, what I began to wonder is if we're created in the image of God, and that image of God is one of God as a kind, gentle, gracious ruler, then are there passages in the Old Testament that connect that concept of ruling, subduing, but do so in feminine language? In other words, the nouns, the pronouns, the images are female, not male. Because here's the really bad news for us guys. Almost always, and there are two exceptions, almost always when it's negative, it's male. It's not a good thing, but it's true. So I want to read these passages to you because they really struck me. And this is just a small selection of these passages where it uses female images to describe this role of God. In Hosea 11, 3 and 4, yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like a woman who lifts infants to her cheek. I bent down to them and fed them. Hosea 13:8. Like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and tear them asunder if they touch my people. Deuteronomy 32:11-12. Like the eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, God spreads wings to catch you and carries you. Deuteronomy 32:18. You were mindful of the rock that bore you. You forgot the God who gave you birth. Isaiah 66:13. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Isaiah 42:14. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept myself still and restrained my will. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. Psalm 131:2. But I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, my soul is like the weaned child that is with me. Psalm 123:2-3. As the eyes of a servant looks to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to you, O Lord, until you show us your mercy. Then Matthew 23:37 and Luke 13:34. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. And then Luke 15:8-10. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. That's just a small sampling of the immense amount of Old Testament and New Testament passages that utilize feminine or female metaphors and images and words to communicate God's role and function of subduing and ruling over the entirety of the universe, part of that being God's people. It's a kind, gentle, comforting, loving presence. It's a mothering presence. And our God possesses that mothering presence. Our God is not male or female. All of that together, while also transcending it, is who our God is. And part of what that should always remind us of is that each and every one of the important women in our lives, our mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, daughters, wives, daughter-in-laws, nieces, the whole list, they embody God's rule. They embody to each and every one of us this mothering reality of God. Created in the image of God, male and female. I want to suggest that this should be a time of just celebration. Celebration of mothers, but also celebration of this reality of mothering. None of us in any of these squares would be who we are today, would be where we are today, without the mothering of mothers and grandmothers, aunts, sisters, daughters, daughter-in-laws, of women. I was thinking last night of different ways in which I have been shaped and influenced by women. My mother died when I was 30. And the first thing that struck me when Liam was born was how much I wished my mother would have been able to hold him. And how much I wished my mother would have been able to also mother him. I think it's such a blessing that Liam has grandmothers and great-grandmothers who really, really, really want to mother him and spend time with him, and aunts who want to be a mothering presence. Because that makes each and every one of us complete and whole. So I want to celebrate the noun. Mothers who in love and kindness raise their children. But I also want to celebrate the mothering, the adjective, the characteristic of a multitude of different women. Mothering and sharing that grace and kindness and love. God inspired, God imaged reality for each and every one of us. So take time today, but take time every day to celebrate and honor our mothers and our mothering women. And let's become more intentional as a body of holding mothering up as an aspect of the very image of God, and celebrating and protecting and cherishing our mothers and all women. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, I just thank you so much today for all of our mothers and for those who are mothering to us. Just pray that you would lift them up today and every day. Keep us mindful of the many, many ways that our lives are enriched and blessed by them. In Christ's name, amen.